Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sacred conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Go to www.usliftingus.com. You can reach the ULU community through the members only portal. When you register for the ULU community, please use the same name you used to join ULU. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shibaka, who, like me, is a member of Uru. Tonight's topic is the importance of planning for Black self-determination. Peace, Brother Shabaka. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, greetings and peace to you, sister, and to the listening family. I'm doing very well. Well as well. My health is well. Thanks be to the Creator and my parents who instructed me how to take care of myself. Peace be unto them. The state of transition. So I'm doing quite well and looking forward to our conversation.
It's good to know that all is well with you, and we're looking forward to the conversation as well. So, Brother Shabaka, planning for self-determination, isn't that something we've heard before?
Yes, sister. Unfortunately, we've heard it a lot of times, you are most correct. But I think the importance of it sometimes elude us, and I think it may be because we don't clearly understand what do we mean by planning. All right, for instance, you know, if I have to, this is short range, very short range. If when I was working, I had to get up in the morning and go to work, I usually had a plan for what was coming or what I was facing the next day, so that when I got up, all right, I had some things planned for me to do, maybe even clothes to wear, and make sure that I had appropriate transportation to get to a location where I had to begin my daily work. If I had to travel. So that's the plan, very short range. We all do that. You know, everybody on this call who had to work know that they had something they had to look forward towards, and they had to plan out. Sometimes we get, you know, particularly in the nationalist, pan-Africanist movement, as we go through these things, the European continuously throw things at us, and we have to strategically plan quickly in order to try to resolve, all right, what he threw at us, a shooting of a Black man or woman. All right. You know, getting involved in demonstrations and meeting paramilitary forces, having to meet the Klan and negotiate out of that since they were armed and you're not. So we usually had those emergencies, all right, and we had to do quick planning. But now the planning, that kind of planning was to try to reduce the emergency effect of the emergency at the time. It was not for self-determination. All right.
Right.
I was confronted with something, right? I was confronted with something. I had to plan quickly to get out of it, or I could be injured and maybe more, even killed, depending on the situation. All right. So I want to just give a Europeanized definition of planning. I'm going to have this. In fact, I'm going to enjoy this. Well, I'm not going to enjoy it, but I'm going to play it and give the listening audience an opportunity to listen to this AI. This is an AI, a robot, who is attempting to read, although the robot is not reading. It's just reciting based on its algorithm. All right, definitions and expressions for planning. All right, okay. I want you to listen to it very carefully because, interestingly, this particular AI robot has an East Indian accent. I thought it was rather. But I wanted to play it for the family today, so listen up. Uh-oh, that was the wrong video. Wait a minute. I'll get it for you. All right, let's see here. Let's make sure I got the right one here. All right, it's coming in. All right, here we go.
What? I definitely can't imagine a world without...
Oh, man, the system is really throwing this stuff at me today. Let's see here. All right, one moment. Just trying to get rid of this commercial. All right, and now, all right, it's the commercial. Hopefully it's going.
Planning involves defining the organization's goals, establishing an overall strategy, and developing a comprehensive set of plans to integrate and coordinate organizational work. Informal planning, nothing is written down. Little or no sharing of goals. General and lacking in continuity.
Now, let me stop here for a second. Often, that's the planning that we do. That's the extent, the informal planning. All right, we come together usually around an activity, all right, a program or something that we want to do, and we might put down a few notes. All right, one of the notes we might put down is, you know, how are we going to raise the money? Where is the money coming from? What is the responsibility of people that we can count on? And that's the extent. Again, these are immediacies, all right, and not planning, all right, for something, all right, to reduce our dependency on things that we get by being part of this this establishment here. In other words, we don't do planning for self-determination. Let the female East Indian robot continue.
Formal planning, written, defines specific goals. Specific action programs exist to achieve goals. Planning is the function that answers four basic questions. Where are we now? Where do we want to be? Gap, how can we get there from here? How do managers plan?
All right, well, I'm not going to go through how managers plan because that just basically gets and take us someplace else that I don't want to go right now. But you can get the idea that planning involves some steps, all right, whether European or not. And everybody forget that one of the greatest planners, you know, was Africans. You know, we don't have the tablets where they went down everything. But the Nile, just in our understanding of the Nile, the flooding of the Nile, all right, what Africans saw in Egypt was that they saw the Sirius star first. There's two Sirius stars, but they saw the bright star, and then they saw the dwarf star. They didn't see, the Africans knew about the dwarf star. The Dogons enlightened modern-day science about that. It wasn't until the scientists here got a telescope. All right, they looked for telescopes. They didn't find them with the Dogon, where they saw the second star. But the appearance of the Sirius A, when that star came up, immediately after that, the flooding of the Nile. Now, what did that mean to the Africans? That meant then that any of the planning that they have done, you know, wherever they plant, knew that then they was going to have sufficient water as a result of the flooding. All right, to then begin to wait and take care of the harvest. Now, what did they do when they waited? Well, often, you know, some of the historians said that they began to work on temples and the pyramids. Pyramids going back, you know, about 5,000-6,000 years or more. They said 5,000 years, but, you know, it could be longer than that. All right. And for the temples. All right. So they had a plan. They knew that the sighting of the Sirius, they knew they had the plans for the coming of the flood. And then whatever activity they had planned for the floods, all right, also allow them to work, you know, on the temples, all right, and the pyramids, all right, that came before. All right, so you had all of that planning, and if you go up the Nile, when you're going up the Nile, you're really going south, you know, because the Nile flows from Central Africa, all right, to the north, all right. You found organized activities of people who were part of kingdoms, all right, part, you know, of large areas of kingdoms, all right, but they are engaged. In other words, you know, like we had the guild movement. You heard about, you know, we were taught about the guild movement in Europe and that you had guilds that did this, that belonged to one group. You remember hearing about that, Sister Kenny?
Yeah, I remember. Well, they didn't say anything about Africa. And when they talked about it, it was like it was only to their, you know, that was strictly a European thing. They didn't mention that it came from somewhere else.
Yeah, it came from Africa, you know.
Yeah.
It came from Africa. I mean, the Greeks and the Romans picked it up, you know, as they was ventured into Northeast Africa, all right? And then later groups picked it up as they came into Africa on the west, all right, from the west side. All right, so we see that. So we've been organizing and we've been in engaged in planning for a long time. All right, it's just become recently European things because now we put a lot of stuff on paper. You know, we do a lot of we draw it into the computer. All right. So what I'm going to play now is her talk about two groups, but more importantly, this other planning that I think is the key to the planning that we are concerned about.
Okay.
Our mission to pursue the creation of value, objectives or goals, ends towards which activity is aim, are not only endpoint of planning, but the on towards which organizing, staffing, leading and controlling are aimed. Reflect broad area of ALT, S, operations. Strategies have a competitive implication is a special plan prepared for meeting the challenge posed by the activities of competitors and other environmental.
All right, I want to stop here because we're talking about strategies, but more importantly, I want to talk about planning raised to the level of strategic planning. All right, the implication of strategic planning means that within an environment, all right, within an area in which you are currently residing or occupying, all right, there is the prospect and the anticipation of a contrary force that could be a competitor. If we look at it in the business model, politically we could look at it as an enemy. Currently,
okay.
We are in the, really it doesn't matter where you are on the globe, we have an enemy, all right, that has itself bent on maintaining control, and therefore it has organized to maintain control by itself engaging in planning. What this AI is attempting to define, all right? So we see that now when planning, it's just not planning because we're not just trying to organize, you know, for a bake sale. We're trying to strategically plan in order to move towards self-determination. All right. One of the things is that we have to be. Yeah, go ahead, sister.
No, I was just saying I got your point. Go ahead.
Okay, good. Hopefully the family and family, I hope you call in so that we can wrestle with this. For those of you that might have some more information, different information than I do on planning and why you might see that it's not important when I think it is very important. All right, so we have, but the key thing is for strategically planning is that we are aware of an outside force which might impede us from reaching our objectives. All right, or rather a mission that we have set up, all right, and the objectives or goals associated with that mission, all right, and then try to impede us or inhibit us, all right, from reaching them. All right, so we have to always be mindful that there is an opposing force. We can't just plan like we're planning a church picnic. We got to plan that whatever we're planning is not necessarily beneficial to an opposing force and that opposing force will try to do what's in their power to impede and make sure that we're not successful with the outcomes of our planning. We usually don't do that. We just look at one thing straightforward. We don't worry about anybody else, and we forget. You know, like COVID came up and really showed me how we have been somewhat misinformed and undermine in our ability to strategically plan when I realized that the Europeans was globally organized. They were able to inoculate with their poison at least 70% of Europe, if not more, and made some impact in non-European countries, all right?
Sure.
And particularly not much in Africa, but, you know, a little bit in Asia, not as high as in Europe, or America. All right, so that enlightened me as to, man, these folks have been planning this for years. And then when I read back, it showed that some people had patents, you know, associated with the instruments that they were using that they said were vaccines and successfully treatment, really blew my mind. I mean, it goes back, you know, 30, 30, 40 years that these patterns have existed. And here we are,
exactly.
You know, thinking that this thing just happened. All right, so that means we got to be equally planned. Now, we might plan a little bit differently, but we got to plan. And strategically,
mm-hmm.
because there's something out there that is forcing us to try to yield. Now, some of the things associated with planning, and I'll just run through here. I know you don't want to hear the East Indian AI. So, but anything, we definitely have a purpose or mission. All right, from that, you know, in other words, where are we? What do we want to do? Why do we want to do it? Then you get into how are we going to do it? What is available for us to help us do it? All right. Then you start putting these steps in. All right. What kind of resources do I need to have? All right. So I can begin to do it. What kind of leadership or manpower or woman power do I need in order to make this happen? How do I organize these woman power? I mean, and manpower. What are the rules that I need to insist on and then train and everybody so that we are following the plan? Excuse me. All right. And don't necessarily have disruption as a result of internal contradictions inside my organization. And of course, the most important thing is, what does the money look like? What is the budget? We gotta bring that budget up and develop in it the necessary resources so that I can complete my plan. For an example, let's say, Sister Q, you and I, all right, we in a community. We come together mm-hmm. and we say, well, look, we need to put in place a school system for our young people, let's say ages from 5 to about 12 for right now. All right.
Okay.
All right. So we have to, this is our goal. All right. Well, the first thing we have to ask ourselves, well, why do we need to do that? You know, what is happening in our environment that tells us that we should come together to do that? Then we might ask ourselves after we identify what that is, what are the kind of skills that we have, all right, between you and I to help facilitate putting this together? Now, then you ask yourself, well, do the skills exist within the two of us, or do I need to get additional skills? Then you have to ask yourself, all right, where do I find these additional skills? I'm just giving you a list of things that we are thinking when we come together on a project. Now, if we're talking about
right.
setting up a school for, you know, 5 to 12-year-old, you know, we know that that's going to take some time, and included in that time is the necessity to convince parents, once we have it set up, all right, to promote it, all right, and inform them why this is going to be successful for their children and them, all right, when there's already a school system out there. More than likely, it's a school system out there that we don't control, and we don't like what they're doing. And the parents have been complaining, you know, that they don't like what they're doing. So you have your
exactly.
vision. But let's look at a potential vision for Black self-determination. One vision might be something like this, and I'm just throwing this off the top of my head. All right? We will be describing the quality of life of Africans globally as being respected. All right? In other words, we'll be respected for their abilities, our abilities. All right? All right, to fulfill, we'll be also have the capabilities of fulfilling our desires as Africans. We will be experience the best possible well-being and health. We will be where we're not happy now will be the happiest that we see on planet Earth, the healthiest that we see on the planet Earth, definitely the most educated, and I'm going to tell you why that's important in a minute, on the planet Earth, and most physically satisfied and the safest people on the planet Earth without jeopardizing or impeding other non-Africans, all right, towards whatever their goals and vision is for their people, okay? So we're not saying other people don't do it. We're saying, but this is what I feel that I want to do, all right? And so as we get into our planning, our strategic planning, we might say, well, look, we can say that one purpose of our long-term strategic plan, all right, a long-term strategic plan, I'm not making a short plan, is for blacks, to put blacks in a framework to be able to extend general guidance to produce independent self-reliance and self-determination. All right, we're saying that if we have that, then that would allow us this vision, this global vision that we have of ourselves, and also be able to protect ourselves, all right? We would be able to establish a method that would could categorize the activities, all right, that we see in the community, all right, as well as the government or governance, in other words, of the area that we are part of, all right, and the country to engage, that the company with country or area where we are engage. For example, how does a community defend itself from outside attacks? That might be one thing that you would have to consider, all right, in your plan. Because remember now, you've already identified from just planning from the church picnic to a strategic plan, all right, for self-determination, is your ability to defend yourself. Okay, otherwise, if you have no ability to defend yourself, what are we doing, Sister Q?
We're wasting our time.
You're right, wasting our time. I mean, hey, look, I don't have to talk about Tulsa. Tulsa was not in a position. Twice it built, it, you know, it was destroyed, and it rebuilt in less than 10 years, all right? But then by that time, the Europeans had collected enough information, all right, to impede its ability to have any impact, All right, so we look at that. We might want to look at how do we promote environmental protection. All right, we know about the water crisis. All right, in Michigan, Flint, Michigan, we know about the lead. All right, in Detroit and all that other kind of problem. How do we organize for housing and community amenities? All right, that would be something that we would have to do because number one, we got people. They have to live. How do they live? All right, so we have to be able to control how do they live, all right? In addition, how do we operate health and wellness institutions? All right, well, our people are probably the sickest on the globe, and we are sick. I mean, it's not only here in the U.S., but wherever we are sick. And as a consequence of that sickness, well, we want to say, what do we need to do to organize to get better? Because right now, we are the majority population in Detroit, Michigan, and Baltimore, Maryland, and Jackson, Mississippi, Richmond, Virginia, and what have you. But we're definitely not reap the benefits of a functioning healthcare system that take care of the majority of people. Yeah, we can get one or two people that might be able to pay, all right, might be able to have, guess what they call decent insurance. But then again, we have to deal with the medical system as it is defined in the European context, which is give you a pill, surgery, all right, or chemotherapy if you happen to have cancer. That's the kind of mode of operations once you go through that door and say emergency room, you know, that's all that's open to you. All right, so another thing might be we might want to discuss how do we promote recreation, religion, and culture. We're religious people. We're spiritual people. All right. And then how do we engage in the national and international commerce? So they might be some of the questions we might want to ask as we get an idea of our purpose from this very broad vision. All right. So consequently, you know, these are some of the things that planning would require us to do. Let me stop here just to see if anybody's on the wire or if you have any questions.
There are no hands up right now, Brother Shabaka. And I have No questions right now. I'm enjoying the way you're laying this out step by step, because I don't believe I've ever heard anybody do that before.
Yeah, well, you know, there might be some people that do that. I mean, I've had discussions, you know, with some people in Ulu. But I think that, you know, you recall when we talked a few weeks ago about the need for planning, particularly in celebration of Black History Month. You recall that?
Yeah, I recall that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in other words, we do our celebration of what it is. We talk about this. We talk about this leader. We talk about that leader, and then we wait for the next year. Well, what are we doing in between? Well, we don't do anything in between because we're only planning for the next Black History Month. You know, we're not talking. We're not planning for the next 50 Black History Months. Okay, all right. We're not planning for that. All right, which would take us beyond this discussion that we're having each Black History. And I'm not against Black History, but we have to elevate it because we're not in an environment that is inconducive for us to be, as I said before, to have a high quality life, to have the respect our abilities and desires, experience the best possible well-being, all right, to be the happiest, healthiest, most educated, most physically satisfied, and the safest people on the globe. All right. Well, I can't do that. You know, if all I'm doing is just celebrating, you know, who discovered this, who discovered that, who was the first person to do this, who was the first person to do that. All right, that's good knowing that, but now how does that impact the people, all right, towards self-determination?
Exactly.
And I made the comment about education a little earlier. The importance of education is crucial, all right? And I don't want to take anything away from our illustrious educators, all right, and the importance of that, but we got to get them out of the public schools. It's going to be rough. It's 45 million of us, you know, in the U.S. And in the public schools, the Public Schools Act. Let's look at it for just a brief minute. The Public Schools Act as a means of babysitting the kids while the parents work. Can that be ascribed to your belief, or at least part of your belief too, that that's what it's about? Because we're not being trained or taught anything.
Exactly.
What do you think?
Well, you're definitely not being taught anything that will benefit you or your own group. So basically, it is a babysitting service and a detrimental one at that.
Exactly. So we're not being benefited, and our parents, who may be working more than one job, all right, and if it's happened to be two, which is would be good, although the statistics have shown that, you know, Blacks are divorcing faster than whites, which is interesting, all right. But if there happen to be two, then you have to divide up your shift. All right, to make sure that at least there's a visible, you know, you're trying to provide the best parenting care that you can. You're trying to divide up your time such that you go in shifts because you might have to work a second job, all right, because you're just not getting that, you're not getting that money. That economics is not kicking in like it is across the track in the white communities. All right, so and it's not even kicking in badly then. They're suffering too right now, so they're getting an idea how we've been suffering. But anyway, so the education provides us to develop, all right, strategies. Why strategies? Again, as we talked about earlier, there is out there in the cosmos, in the environment, all right, forces that are definitely bent on impeding any progress that you make. So the education, not just training, but the education is important of your environment and then how your environment fits, all right, into the nation, the state, and, of course, the globe. All right, that's important because that's how you develop your strategies. Those areas that I listed earlier, like dealing with health care, health and wellness, dealing with recreation, all right, dealing with environment, dealing with housing, all those require businesses of some sort. Wouldn't you believe that? They require businesses of some sort. All right, I mean, just if you just take education, if you're talking about a primary education, let's say 5 to 12 or whatever, all right, you got to have a building. So that building, if it's not built, has to be built. All right, so you need a skill other than just what a teacher provides in the classroom. All right, so you need a skill for that. All right, and then you need planning because in building you got to have the water system come through there. All right, and of course you have to have food services that come through there because you got to feed them. After all, you are babysitting them, but you got to feed them. All right, so that's required. And then you have to provide a curriculum that takes them from where they are, all right, take them to where you want them to go. In fact, when I was in graduate school, my professor said, look, we're here to behavior modify these young people who come through the doors. All right, well, what do you mean, professor? Well, he says they're coming from adolescent, immature, and you got to transform them into responsible citizens. I didn't think about it at that point, you know, but that's what he told me, all right? That's what you have to do. So you're a behavior you modify because the youth, all right, they got to enjoy some things that they didn't have to worry about because that was passed on to the parents who had to deal with the heartaches and the pressures of trying to maintain a living and a life for the family in a very hostile environment. All right, so that's what we have when we talk, so we got to have businesses in those sectors, all right, in addition to having, you know, so when we talk about environmental protection, well, we have to say, well, what is environmental protection, all right, protecting their environment, all right, so how do we ensure that? These are questions that would need to be asked. What are the skills needed to do that, all right? What are the economic activities that need to happen such that, all right, the environment for safe quality air and water and forestry and all that other kind of stuff is implemented. Well, what kind of schools go, I mean, what kind of skills are necessary to go there? Where are those skills? All right. All right. Where are they trained? In other words, now as an organization or rather as a school, all right, you're now trying to find out what material goes into your curriculum to begin to have people go into those industries, all right, or those businesses that come back to build the community. And, of course, if you're the majority population in the community, you want to control it. That doesn't mean you're going to oppress anybody else. But if you're the majority group in the community, all right, you're going to control it such that you get a benefit from it. If you're not the majority, then you'll barely get a benefit from it anyway because you'll get a better system than what system you're going to currently. All right?
Exactly.
So the thing is not oppressing anybody. We're just basically looking after our own, all right? And we know that we have to set up an economic foundation such that we can begin to address what we see not being addressed in our environment. But let me rest a little bit more on this this health and wellness, because that's important. You go to a hospital or you go to any clinic or you go to a natural health provider, all right? You're going to have medical products or herbs, that could be herbs or anything, to address what complications you are experiencing with your discomfort, all right, or disease. Disease is discomfort, all right? In addition to that, if things get a little bit more serious, all right, you have to have appliances and equipment, all right, to address. I break my leg, okay? Well, I can throw a herb on it, but that's not going to help me mend it much. So I need something that's going to set the bone, all right, so that it will heal itself. Now, all I need to do is just set the bone, all right? So I need, there has to be skills that help to be able to set that bone, okay? And, of course, you know, the bone will set itself. All right, So I need that skill and that knowledge from some person to be able to do that. All right. So that's a business. You know, people are not, if they have a skill and they want to lend that to the community, all right, then you have to be able to compensate them for what they're lending their skills and talents to assist you. So that's an economic activity, all right? Public health services, all right, where you get information about health, all right, so that you can anecdotally set up things, all right, that requires you taking care of yourself while at the same time you don't have to be injuring yourself from the lack of education on what you should be putting in your body, what what you should be doing in order to exercise your muscles and what have you, take that walk, all right, and those kind of things. Well, that requires some experience too, so you have to hire that. Food choices. All right, well, I need to know something about farming in Baltimore. I mean, in Baltimore, when I was there, you know, some kids were asked, you know, where does the meat come from? And they said McDonald's. Well, these young kids,
right?
So they've been separated from the farm. They don't know anything. So you know, you might have a little chuckle. You know, all right. So they thought the meat came from McDonald's because that's the only place they saw to get chicken.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So you can't blame them. It was just that was the reality of their situation. All right. So I'm saying that as we look forward into doing these things, we see that we have plans which map out what are the kind of functions or human activities that is taking place in this environment. And I don't like to call them communities because communities stress a sense of control, pre-community or neighborhoods. All right, but if I sip and say community, you know that I'm talking about not an area that we control. We might have a black face there in City Hall, all right, the mayor's office, but we don't control, all right? We're talking about what do we need to do to control. And if we don't control it, then we can't be moving towards self-determination to determine for ourselves what must be done. In fact, let me just briefly inform folks, Kuji Changalia, which is self-determination, that's one of the Kwanzaa principles, essentially what it says, so that we are mindful of that. And then we have to say, all right, I reminded of that. All right, between next Kwanzaa, all right, how do I manifest Kuji Changalia? All right, how do I manifest that? How do I do that? What am I looking for now? Well, if you first of all, you define yourselves, all right? Who am I? What am I? Am I Negro? All right. Am I a colored? Black? New African? All right, so you define yourself. Who am I? Because, see, that tells you, when you look at other people in your environment that doesn't look like the group of people that you happen to be living with, all right, you can characterize. Now, the white boy like to call it race. There's really no such thing except races to separate species. There's the human race. And even at this point in time, Sister Q, I must confess, it's hard, but I must confess I even have placed the white man as being a part of the human family. I mean, it's hard, but I'm a – It's rough, you know. But you know, let me call him a humanoid. He looks human, all right. But remember now, the word human has the word hue in it, all right, which means you got to have some color, color man, all right. So,
a man of color, right?
A man of color, all right. So let me go with that and say that I have concluded he is that, all right. And so, therefore, and I conclude that also he mingles with people like himself, okay, which is natural. You know, there's people that look like him, speak his language, and what have you, culturally associated with his language. So as a group of people, we define ourselves. We name ourselves. We create for ourselves and speak for ourselves, all right? And so in the process of in this process of building a country, a statehood, all right, we determine as a legal entity, a legal body, all right, to decide our destiny in the international order. So that means then if I see myself as African, all right, Afro-descendant or what have you, all right, I see myself within that collective, all right, and won't allow you to define me any other way. And not only won't allow you, but I don't have the power, all right, such that you won't define me any other way, all right? And so that's in a sense is self-determining that I do for myself among the collective of people that we ourselves has identified who we are and what we are about and then how are we going to traverse through time, all right? In addition to that, we're going to set up the defenses because I've already had an experience with you in the past such that, all right, what you did then, any of its manifestations now will not occur in the future as I move to enjoy life and experience what I have not experienced that I should experience to make myself or make us whole as a people.
Right.
So
okay.
I look at that as self-determining. That's what we do to determine for ourselves, and we have to set up that. And to be able to do that, just to go back, if we just look at the educational system, we have to set up a school system that begins to train and educate our youth about the world, their place in the world, and the skills necessary to take their community, the community of which they are a part of, all right, into the future. We're not talking about we should overcome and you don't want to sit down with holding hands with little white kids and little black kids, holding hands with little this kid and that kid. We can do that, you know, once we get to the point if we find a need to hold hands. But let me tell you why I don't think that is possible. But, you know, some people wish, and I'm not saying that I'm always going to be right, and the statement that I'm going to be made is not one that is necessarily shared by Ulu or, you know, any of its members. But even though I have conceded that the European is human, I have not reduced any of my thoughts that he's not one of the more cancerous human entities within the family. Do you get my drift, sister?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you know how cancer operates. When you look at the behavior of the European, particularly their leadership and their group subordinates will follow their leadership, all right, I see a cancer infecting the human organisms as I see cancer infect our body. And it has metastasized. It has gotten out of Europe and infected every continent on the face of this earth.
I can see your point.
You can see my point, right? That's my point. So therefore, I don't delude myself in talking about, well, it's capitalism or it's socialism and it's all these systems. I say it's the cancerous nature that develops the system, capitalism, socialism. There is no communism. That's a theory. All right. Any of those systems, which is an economic system in order to sustain their power to control non-Africans. I mean, to control Africans, and so to control Africans. All right. So the system is a vehicle that was developed by them, all right, out of their experience, all right, for one thing only, and that's to control and to profit from that control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can have debates, but that's how I look at it. And that way,
right,
I'm not easily deceived because there's a nice white boy who's grinning in my face saying we should overcome.
I want to
say, why are you here? But anyway, in that respect, then my mission, all right, my purpose, and the method that I use, all right, will be consistent with trying to find a way to remove the injuries as a consequence of the enslavement, all right, and then to make myself a happier, smarter. You got to be smarter because, see, if I'm not smarter, see, I'm not for committing genocide on white folks. I don't want anybody to say that. Some people think that I'm bad. I'm for preventing them from committing it on me, so therefore I got to be a little bit smarter.
Sure.
I think you see the point in that. I mean, if I'm dumber,
yeah.
I'm not going to
yeah.
last very long. Okay, so the point is, I want to be smarter just to keep the enemies at bay. In fact, that's exactly what happens inside your body that I've learned.
Yeah.
And that is that your immune system, you know, you got diseases that are in your body, they just kept at bay because you have a very
mm-hmm.
active and strong immune system. So that means you're stronger
mm-hmm.
than the, so that the immune system is stronger than the potential disease, virus, bacteria, parasites, or whatever it is, all right, that are there in your body that could harm your body. So that's all we're saying. That's all I'm talking about, is that our
right.
immune system is our ability to know more than they do, not as much as they do, more than they do. So that's what we want to move towards, where we are smart and educated, all right, such that
you
we
know,
will not
I
be attacked.
You know, I think that's a good point, Brother Shabaka. If you study the human body, your own physicality, and then you can recognize aspects of what we will call the race body. So just like there are parasites, and so some people say that viruses and bacteria, cancerous cells, disease cells, whatever, that can be housed in your personal physical body, those things exist in the human race body. And so the same way that you would control them in the human body is the same way that it must be done among the race body. So what you're saying makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, thank you, sister. Yeah, and I hope that the family sees it. But, you know, like I said, call in. Let's debate or struggle. Let's talk, because the European has mastered up to this point AI. He's working. I don't know. Sometimes it looks like he's working in conjunction with the Chinese, or he's competing with the Chinese. But they're both you know, almost neck and neck with this AI.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of our people are talking about AI, and I talk about AI. But see, I talk about it a little bit differently than Europeans. See, the AI I talk about, I don't want to have a computer chip in my head, all right? I don't
exactly.
want to be able to monitor, have a limb with all these electronic devices on it and be told that, well, that'll work better than your old limb. Well, I like my old limb. Better. It's got blood
exactly.
going, the tissue, and muscle, you know, going through it. All I want you to do is help me repair if there's an injury, and then I can move from there. See, I don't need the AI. I don't need to do the AI like Amazon does and laid off just here in this factory that they had outside of Miami. I mean, it must have been about at least 2,000 workers. The place is closed up. Where did
get
they go?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Hmm. No, I'm surprised to hear that.
Yeah, they laid off, got rid of thousands of workers, more than that nationwide, because they
mm-hmm.
are so-called upgrading their system with artificial intelligence and robots that they say can do the same work, you know, as and faster, and they can keep it 24 hours. They don't have to have people on shifts. These robots, all you got to do is just have the fuel, all right, to be
mm-hmm.
able to provide them. They put that stuff together. Now, with the advent of, you know, driverless cars, in other words, cars that humans don't have to drive, all
right,
right. and that can drive you, they claim better than that. So what do I need a human for, you know, other than, you know, to fix the repairs or something like that? So that's a small skeleton crew. All right, so I'm saying AI to us is maybe to enhance what we're doing, but not necessarily to replace humans.
Right.
What we're doing.
Right.
All right.
Gotcha.
Replace them, you know. All right. Our objective is, you know, like it can do fancy calculations, and I might let it do the calculations. All right. But at the same time, you know, I have defined for myself its uses. What we find ourselves in today is that we usually do what white folks are doing. You know, they got AI and they're using it for this. And so we say, well, since they're using it for this, it must be that. You always hear the term and say, well, look, what's coming down the pipe? Well, you can read what's coming down the pipe. Yeah, well, the European is making sure that what's coming down the pipe because his objective is to control. In fact, I remember, you remember X-Files? I don't know if you look at that. I used to look at X-Files years ago. Well, it was one episode. This guy, the girl, FBI agent, asked this person. He says, "Who are you?" And he says, "What is your name, or what do you do?" Something like that. And he says, "I predict the future." You know. So she says, "You predict the future?" He says, "Yes." And the best way to predict the future is to control it.
Right. So, exactly.
All right. So. Yes. That was, what, 30, X-Files 30 years old? So that was 30 years ago, but that made an impression on me. All right, so that is, I think, important that we have to do for ourselves. We have to plan. And then one of the, I want to emphasize the current to the family, that the current structure of Hulu is to assist and facilitate that planning. All right, you say, how is that? Well, we have a nonprofit organization, all right, that filters, you know, in other words, when you come through our organization, you're not accepted immediately at once. You know, you're vetted, all right? So you come through that, so there's a filter, all right? And then what we try to do is organize you into cells, what we call Hulu-based communities, all right? These Hulu-based communities basically are setting up and training people, 15 to 20 people, you know, in the communities that they are. Learn about the communities that you're in there. Learn about health services, learn about hospital services, learn about public health services, all right? Learn about environmental protection, learn about, you know, policing and safety. Learn about those things. In addition to learning about those things, what are the kinds of structures that need to be there such that it helps you to not only understand but operate businesses and control eventually that, all right, those sectors that you happen to be, you know, in the community in those sectors that meet your interest. If it's healthcare, if it's housing, all right, if it's that, what is involved in that and what is the infrastructure that you need to set up, all right, to be a part of it and most importantly, control. If we don't set out the control, then we're being controlled, all right? And so we, by setting up these UBCs, all right, and eventually the UBCs, you say, well, how does the UBCs get involved? Once you got compiled the information, then, of course, you have the capabilities of identifying and investing in the kind of industry, all right, that will assist you towards controlling. So that if you're in environmental protection, you know, you might be interested in water purification and stuff like that. So you have that skill because you know that with that skill, you know, you're going to get quality water down to the community that you are a part of. And then if you control it, then you also have leverage, all right, with the handkerchief heads down there in City Hall, all right, because they're politicians. All right, so these are the things that you have to plan, and you can't plan them like you do a church picnic. It has to be detailed. You have to come together, and then you have to compartmentalize. All right, you take that sector, you take that sector. Let's report on our progress on that sector, and then we will begin to say, well, what kind of industry can be set up? All right, what kind of businesses can be operated, all right, such that our people, our community can benefit from it and control it? Well, Sister Q, I said a whole mouthful. Nobody called. I hope I didn't burn your ears any.
No, I'm really enjoying the detail that you're providing, you know, because we tend to A lot of times we have people who are what I call big picture people, and they don't get to the real nitty gritty of it or the minute details, so that you in generally don't see yourself in their picture because the picture's too big and you don't see where you fit in. And I like how you are talking about the healthcare and the environmental protection and the education system and all the things. It's basically what you're saying is whatever it is you're doing in the system now, we need you to do that in what we're building if you are a trusting person. And so so now I could think of it in terms of, oh, okay, so what do I do? How do I fit in? Now I could see a reason why I would want to be a part of this, or a greater reason, I'll say. So I that's why I appreciate how you go into the minute detail like that.
Well, thank you, sister. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I know we're running out of time. In fact, we're over time. But it's always good. I'm always willing to share with the community, with the family. And we're moving. We're moving. I mean, I'm very optimistic. We had what I thought was a good meeting earlier this month, you know, in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to come, but I did share online a good discussion. I think that some good ideas. I think we're going to move, and I think something that's really going to turn around this year. Because I think we have the dedication of people. We have people with insight and that are willing to move. And we know that we got to. The European is not sitting down. He's not sitting down.
if he is sitting down, he's got somebody else scurrying around doing, you know, you go here, there, you do this, you do that. So.
And he, not only that, he has AI. He has artificial intelligence. Look, this you heard the East Indian sounding AI, you know, dealing with the just described.
Exactly.
You know, it's more sophisticated. He has it more sophisticated than that. He's got it now, where you know they call it what they can call what they call learning. That they learning. In other words, the learning comes from just steps. An algorithm such as they compile information. See, they store a huge amount of information. AI, by being nothing more than electronical impulses, digitized, you know, can go do that stuff, you know, in seconds, you know, where it might take us a few months. They want to make decisions. They got them to make decisions so they can move fast. So he's not sitting down.
Right, for sure. Thank you, Brother Shibaka, for the information you shared with us tonight. And I want to thank everyone that joined us by listening in this evening. And as always, we invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 p.m. for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is new. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong get more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grave. Mama may have, Papa may have,